Brian would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land that we and our guests are recording from, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Sovereignty was never ceded and Australia always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Behind the Grand Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Paige.
And I'm Niharika. I'm very excited about today's episode. It's with some grads at the firm I'm at, which is Herbert Smith Freehills, and one of our guests joins us all the way from London.
That's right, really showing off HSF's global capacity. Anyway, let's get into the episode and have our guests introduce themselves to tell us more.
Hi all, my name's Tara Kiven. I'm a graduate solicitor from the Melbourne office, but I'm currently based in the London office. I'm doing an international rotation in the disputes team. I started at HSF in 2021. I started as a paralegal in disputes, and then I did a clerkship in the environment and planning teams, and I stayed on as a paralegal in both disputes and environment and planning. And then I did my first rotation in employment, my second rotation in competition, and now I'm in the disputes team in London.
I'm Jess Neshed. I am a solicitor in our finance team in Melbourne. I started my graduate program in 2021, so in the middle of COVID, which was lovely. And my rotations were in employment, and then my second rotation was in finance, and then I stayed in finance after that.
Lovely. Well, we'll get started with our fun questions to get into the swing of things. And the first one that we always ask, and I'm sure everyone is so overhearing us ask the same question, but we love the answers, is what is your coffee order? And we'd also love to know where's the best place to get that order in the city. But Tara, your recommendation might have to be an international one. We might have to try a little bit harder to get to yours. Maybe we'll start with Jess first.
My favorite coffee order, the only one that I really can drink, is a lactose-free latte because I love my coffee but cannot take too much milk. And my favorite place is definitely vacation, which I feel like is probably the same as half the people in our quarter of town. So
yeah, vacation's lovely. How about you, Tara? Like I said, we might have to travel a little bit further, but maybe we can make it work.
Well, whilst I do love coffee, I've actually been on the oat chai latte bag for quite some time. In London, on my way to work, there's a coffee shop called Blank Street Coffee. It was actually started by a friend of mine from Sydney who's an ex-lawyer. So I initially went to, there was a brand new cafe that they just opened, so I initially went to support him, but it's now got the best try. So I go there every morning on my way to work.
That's so cool. It's like all over. When I went traveling in London, I went with my cousin. He was like, this is my favorite coffee. And I was like, it's the best.
Everywhere.
It's so nice. They have really satisfying iced latte cup.
Like they do. And it's aesthetics. It's the lime green. We love it.
The branding is very on point. do you have a Melbourne recommendation, actually?
Oh, good question. I mean, I love the Level 24 cafe coffees. I'm by no means a coffee snob and I would go there every morning. So I was often my go-to.
Well, on a completely different note, how would your parents describe what you do? So this question kind of came from someone told us that their parents thought that they were a professional email writer. My mum also used to think that I worked at Michael Kors because she thought that Kors meant Michael Kors. So we just have gotten some fantastic stories out of it. So we thought we'd ask you, how would your parents describe what you do if they had to explain it to someone else and couldn't use the word lawyer?
Such a difficult question. My mum is a yoga teacher. So the law is something that we don't necessarily speak about. We speak a lot about mindfulness and less about law. But I find it hilarious because I've given up on explaining what it is I actually do. To them, I'm a solicitor at a top-tier international law firm, and I guess we'll just leave it at that.
Leave it there. Yeah, that's so fair enough.
I think this is really funny because my parents frequently joke that I don't actually do anything because I work from home. So they think that I don't have a real job sometimes, and they think that I'm just watching Netflix at home. But when they came in for our admission event, I was like, look at my office, look at all these buildings.
Office.
And they were like, all right, maybe you have a job.
Area.
They would have no idea, but it's just lawyer. My daughter's a lawyer. That's it.
That's so sweet. Well, our last little fun question is, and we think this is the best way to get to know someone, but basically we just want to know a little bit more about how you do life. So maybe tell us what your morning routine looks like.
I think I have the worst morning routine. Well, all my team will know this. That, for example, this morning I woke up at 8:30 a.m. Not that my team's pretty like stressed about coming in on time or anything, yeah. But I jumped out of bed, put on some clothes, brushed my teeth, called the doctor because I didn't want to walk to the tram in the rain. And then I come into the office and I get a coffee in the office to wake me up. That's my morning routine.
That's so fine. It's so fine.
Got to work. You did it.
Yeah. Like all the things that you needed to achieve for the morning were achieved. It's fine.
I agree. I was like, you know, I made it. It doesn't matter how or when. I made it. So.
And you're efficient. Clearly you're efficient because I could not do that. How about you, Tara?
My morning routine is definitely a work in progress, especially with moving to a new country and the excitement of being in London over summer. But I think like the absolute perfect morning for me consists of like a 20-minute meditation when I wake up, having a lemon water, having my vitamins, going to Pilates.
Oh my gosh, you're so on top of it. I love it.
Making a smoothie and then heading to work and writing my to-do list for the day. If I get that done, I've seized the day, I've won it, but I have to say that doesn't happen.
And it's like a successful day for me, not like a... morning. Like if I achieve those six throughout the day, I'm like, I am living.
Like that whole little explanation of all the things, I was like, you could make a TikTok about your morning.
I need to see it get
that
ready.
That is perfect TikTok morning material.
Unfortunately, it's been a while since I achieved that for 7 days in a row. So
yeah, that's right. Work in progress. But I feel like now, at least I and I'm sure our listeners have little tidbits and at least know that both things happen, right? Well, we'll jump into, I guess, the nitty-gritty part of the podcast. We'll start with maybe the most obvious question, just what led you to choosing your firm, choosing HSF, maybe some things that really spoke to you or stood out to you.
Yeah, sure. I think there were definitely a couple of things that I was looking for and sort of think I would recommend to everyone writing a pros and cons list when you go through the clerkship program and even interviews before clerkships. But the main sort of standouts for me at HSF was firstly the genuine emphasis on diversity. Coming from a diverse cultural background, it was really important to me that I felt like I could be exactly who I am, which is a loud Egyptian at work, and not feel like I have to mask anything or pretend to be someone who I wasn't. And I very much felt comfortable from day one at HSF. Since starting, I've gotten to be involved in the multiculturalism network. But yeah, I think the firm actually places and somewhat rewards juniors' efforts in building diversity and making HSF an inclusive space. I think the other main one was I was looking for people that I know would mentor and sponsor me when I was to come through the graduate process. And I think it was pretty clear early on that the type of lawyer that HSF often hires is the type that wants to champion their juniors and really teach them everything they know and make it a safe space for them to make mistakes, but also give them the autonomy that they need to like learn. And yeah, I've definitely felt that and still feel that in my team to this day, which is pretty cool.
I know that that term, isn't it, like stretch and support. I think I might be getting the term wrong, but it's so true. Like I feel even just as a first rotator, I've definitely been given opportunities where I'm like, why would you trust me with this kind of work? But then it's given to me in an environment where I can go and ask so many different levels of people to help and review and ask silly questions. And there's someone in the finance team that anytime I'm like, can I ask a silly question? He's like, there are no silly questions, every single time without fail. And just having that environment, I think, is so nice. So I definitely resonate with what you're saying. How about you, Tara?
Yeah, a few different aspects drew me to the firm. I think firstly, it goes without saying that the work you do at HSF is exceptional and you work with some of the brightest minds in the industry. I think secondly, the culture is really unique. It's a top tier law firm, but it doesn't feel that way. It's got a really vibrant, energetic culture. People are friendly, welcoming. People go down to Level 24 Cafe and say good morning and speak about their day. So it's really welcoming, really approachable, I think, generally in its feel. Yeah, those are the few things that really stuck out to me really early on.
That's so lovely to hear.
what has been your involvement and experience with HSF's diversity and inclusion network?
So I started at HSF as a paralegal in 2021, and both myself, Jess, and another solicitor named Sarah Ann Butler, we started what's called Equitable Espresso, which is basically a discussion group where people of different levels of seniority come together to discuss topics that disproportionately affect women and those of minority genders. And then we did that for about 6 months to about a year. And then Sarah Ann Butler and myself, we re-energized what was already existing within the firm, which was GEM, which stands for Gender Equity Matters. So GEM is a global HSF network with office chambers across the firm. It works basically towards increasing gender diversity and inclusion by creating just a safe space for people of minority genders. Some of the firm-wide events that we've run in the past have included, you know, female and minority gender networking for graduates and junior solicitors. We've run panel events on various topics, including unconscious bias, intersectionality, and imposter syndrome. And this year, the GEM Network is hoping to introduce a Women in Leadership series where we basically interview people within the firm to just highlight the different pathways to leadership at HSF. And we launched an initiative to make period products more readily available across all Australian offices. So we've done a bunch. I think we're always looking to onboard more people to get involved, but it's been great to just get involved at such a junior level. And I think just in terms of my broad experience with D&I at HSF, I think what I love about HSF is that juniors are really encouraged to lead and take initiative with some of these, you know, D&I networks. I think if there's something that's personally meaningful to you, juniors are basically given a space to run with it and lead them on their own with the support of more senior lawyers and the input of more, you know, senior people within the firms.
That sounds so great. You guys are very, very involved. And it's fun that you've had so much exposure to, like you said, at a junior level, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. And now that I'm based in London, I've tried to get involved in as much as I can from, you know, what's going on within the same space in London. And there's always plenty on and plenty to do. And I love, you know, going to events there and then feeding back to Australia here on some of the you know, events I've gone to and thought, oh, it'd be great to do something similar within Melbourne. So it's nice to just be able to kind of collaborate between offices where we can.
Sounds great.
Well, Jess, we might ask you as well. Can you tell us a little bit more about how rotation preferences work? I guess maybe the form and the structure of them, and also, you know, are there things like strategies and stuff that you should be thinking about in terms of like when you should rotate in teams and how all of that works? Is it not really a thing either?
The graduate program is a year and a half. There are 3 6-month rotations in that, and the rotations span obviously across all practice groups and even the non-legal practice groups like ALT if you're interested. They will ask for your preferences, or HR will ask for your preferences. I think it's generally 3 months before each rotation, and I think if it's your first rotation, maybe it's a little bit less. Maybe it's like 2 months, maybe probably will be a bit more closer.
Yeah, I think it was about 2 months.
Yeah, okay, yeah, cool. So ask for your preferences. I think there's 6 broad practice groups that you'll be provided with, and you just write, you would number them preferenced 1 to 6 for each rotation. You don't do it all at the start, you do it progressively throughout. And then you can also include extra details in the form. So if you there's a partner that you particularly want to work for, if there's a subset in that team, for example, like employment, have like a safety focus in one of their like sub teams, if you want to work in that team, that'd be the place to put it. In terms of strategy with preferences, I think I'm going to give a little bit of a boring answer, but I think the strategy is to just write your preferences as they fall each time. Yeah. So say you would really like to come to finance, which I'm a little bit biased, but say you really want to come to finance, I would say that you would preference that first from the start, because I think it's really important that the finance team and HRC early on that you're keen to go. If that changes throughout, if you decide finance is not my first preference anymore, I'd like to go somewhere else, then the next rotation you would change your preferences. I don't really think there's any value personally in rotating where you want to settle last. I don't think it makes a difference at all to settlement prospects or settlement opportunities or being fresh in, you know, their mind. I don't think any of that matters. I think it's just important that you're maintaining contact with your preferred team throughout the graduate program, even if you rotate with them first or you rotate with them last. Like, it's good to always keep in contact.
No, I think those are great great tips. And I think I've also heard that, you know, almost doing the team that you, like if you have a team that you want to settle in already, like you know which one that you're thinking of not doing at last, because then you can kind of have a break in between and just have, whether that is taking leave or whether that is just a mental break of trying something else and then coming back and just being a little bit more refreshed yourself as a, I don't know, as a person maybe. Like, I'm not sure if that's the right description, but sometimes I've almost heard that it's good to have that little break in between. Obviously, we're so excited to have you join us, particularly all the way overseas and from London. And I think, like you said, it speaks to how international HSF's presence is, but also how ingrained it is just into the firm culture to have, you know, juniors go overseas and work and have all the opportunities and experiences that come from that. So I guess we'd love to know more about how all of that worked, how you kind of ended up over there. What's the application process like? Do you need to, you know, have particular experience in certain practice areas? And maybe just any tips that you have for people to stand out if they are looking to do that kind of opportunity.
Yeah, sure. So HSF offers international rotations every year. This year, or during my process, they offered rotations in the London, Tokyo and Hong Kong offices. Mm-hmm. The application process involves a written application detailing why you want to go to that office and what teams interest you and why you would also make a good ambassador for the Australian office. And I think what stood out in any application was a specific reason or reasons as to why you want to go to that office or that particular team. Examples of extracurricular involvement outside of a practice group, which demonstrates that you would make a really good ambassador. And the third being strong feedback on, you know, your experience and your performance to date whilst undergoing the graduate program. For me, I'm 4 months into my graduate rotation in the London office, and it's been probably the best legal experience that I've had in my career to date. I think speaking to other trainees, which that's what they refer to, those are grads in the UK, speaking to other trainees just about their experiences, about their background, the clerkship process here, the graduate process, working with people from such unique, diverse backgrounds, getting familiar with a brand new legislation, new areas of law. I think it's such an exciting time to be here. I've been fortunate enough to work with people as well in the Australian office on cross-border matters. So I think it's such a unique opportunity to get involved in, and it's something unique to HSF. It's been such a positive experience and I've loved my time in London. So yeah.
That's so lovely to hear. I'm so glad you're having such a great time. I might throw our next question to Jess, because this might kind of be, I guess, a little bit more recent in your memory, having already gone through the process of settlement and things. But how does settlement work?
I did two rotations instead of three. I did my first rotation in employment, and then I did my second in finance, and I loved it so much that I asked to stay. And very kindly, the team were happy to have me stay on and complete what was my third rotation with the team. So I think when it came to settlement time, it maybe had been a little bit easier for me to just kind of walk into the partner's office after being there for almost a year and saying, hey, I'd like to stay.
I didn't make it clear by now.
Yeah. It was quite easy for me. There's a grad in my team who's currently going through that process. So I might just speak to what I understand his experience has been. I think he's very much in the process now of drawing up all the pros and cons. And also, instead of trying to network with the people to try get into their teams, I'd like to think he's now testing them and seeing whether it's the right fit for him too. So he's having coffees with people at all different levels, not to sort of get in front of them, but more so to ask them the questions that he'd really like to know in terms of the type of work, how much autonomy a junior lawyer in that team has, what's the work-life balance like, what's the training opportunities like, and just asking the things that he would prioritize. And obviously everyone has different priorities, whether it's how quickly they'd like to scale up, if there's in-house opportunities in that area of law later on, whatever it is. But I think when you get close to settlement, those are the questions that you should be asking, because you've done your bit, you've shown that you can help the team and that you're a good fit that's not really going to be shown in the coffee catch-up. So coffee catch-up is more for your benefit and being able to make the right choice for you as well. So
yeah, well, that was fantastic advice.
What other things are unique to HSF?
As far as I'm aware, HSF is the only law firm to provide every Friday off in the first 6 months of the graduate program as a study leave day to complete PLT. Recently partnered with the University of New South Wales out of Sydney, and together HSF and UNSW have built an incredibly accessible and flexible program. My PLT Fridays were a savior. It just meant I could, you know, do my legal work Monday to Thursday and then have Friday to purely dedicate towards, you know, completing any assessments, which I think it's a really unique program, and it just allowed me to kind of be able to focus my time on either, you know, my legal work or my PLT work, and also have certain time within the week just to enjoy my personal time and create boundaries where needed. So I think it's such a great initiative that they've sort of brought on for junior solicitors.
Yeah.
No, sounds fabulous.
And he's very encouraged too, which is important. Like some firms that you have study days, but you're maybe not, like, you have to ask to take them, and then it's sometimes you can be in a difficult position where there's a lot of work in the team and you don't want to take it,
100%.
Or you don't want to miss out on the opportunity of learning more for, you know, the PLT. But it's nice that here for most teams it's very much like you have your Friday off and you're not expected to be here or online at all.
It's true. It's really really respected, I think. And I think in general, you're right, it's really difficult to navigate those conversations when you're just starting out. You know, you're wanting to make a good impression and be a really dependable team member, but you're asking for days off. It's difficult to navigate. So I think having a dedicated day to just complete your work and get it done, it helps and it helps you personally. Like, it's just really good for stress management and work and time allocation, and I think it definitely helped me starting out for sure.
Yeah, because PLT builds up way more than you think it will.
And it's not the easiest program. Like, there's a lot involved and, you know, it's time consuming like anything else, and the job in itself, you know, is time consuming, and so you just want to have the space to sort of get everything done
Well, our last little question, and I might just throw this to both of you because I'm sure you both have great advice on this, but just, do you have any project management strategies that you'd recommend to, you know, maybe clerks listening or even grads listening, whether that's specific like apps and tools? We've had a lot of OneNote suggestions, a lot of Outlook suggestions. So if you have anything else to add, please let us know. I know something I am getting used to is just kind of juggling all the different things, and learning to prioritize. Definitely, like, we get, you know, you get the deadlines from the person giving you instructions, but then yourself giving yourself like a structure on when to do things. Because I know sometimes I could be like, oh, well, this one's in my head right now, so I'll finish that. And then I might get a little bit, you know, delayed on something that I could have maybe done faster and sent out earlier. So learning things like that, if you have any tips, asking for a friend, that's me.
I think if you have any cool project management strategies, I'm all ears. For me, I think it's been really useful to just have sound foundational organization skills. And so from the outset, when starting as a grad, I just wanted to get into the habit of posting my timesheets daily, keeping really up-to-date calendar blocking, filing emails and other documents in matter-specific folders, and keeping my calendar really up-to-date. I also write every Sunday my to-do list for the week and what my calendar or what my week will look like. And it just allows me to stay really on top and in control of basically my week. And at the end of the day, it is a time management strategy. So it's about you sort of working out where things will fit. How can you be flexible? How can you manage that? And that's up to you. And so by instilling very sound foundational organization skills at the outset, it allows you to just build on that and create a routine that works for you. And so every day at work, I have a to-do list next to me. I'll handwrite it and cross it out as I go. It's not very tech savvy, but it works for me and it allows me to keep really in control. So that's personally what suits me.
That's great. Those are very helpful tips. Yes, how about you? Did you have a few to add?
I think there's really like two main things that make me sane and make me feel like I know what to expect in the day. Firstly, I have like, it's more of a like just spreadsheet that I have on OneNote. It's nothing like too techie, but it essentially just has every deal transaction that I'm on, the expected signing or closing date for that deal, the BATA number, the document, a list of documents we'll have to be aware of, essentially, whether we're reviewing or drafting or just have to sign off on something, just so we make sure that nothing slips through the cracks. And that's often something you find out at the start of the transaction. And then the last column will be like the status. So I might say like HSF circulated the facility agreement, the loan agreement on the 5th of July. And then the next stop point might be like just to do review this other document or the documents in this other person's court, like they're reviewing, like clients providing comments. And that just helps me like whenever I could go, I can see, oh, this matter's been quiet. Where are we up to? Oh, this was the last time I sent something.
And like a bird's eye view almost too of everything and where everything's moving and is. That sounds like a really good
Exactly.
idea.
And I think that's why it's like really helpful to try to keep it as short as possible. The only column that has a little bit of length to it is the documents column, but I wouldn't go so fast to like write the status of each of the documents. It's just so I know, like, in case there is some sort of like side deed that we need to make sure we execute, that it doesn't fall off my radar completely and it's there and it's like something I can come back to.
That is so helpful. I'm very seriously going to have to do that. That's so helpful.
I love it. It's really helpful. And I got that through one of the executive councils that showed me how to do that. And I was like, I'm done. I'm taking this. I'm doing it.
It's been done now too. Love it.
The other thing that I use is sort of like, it's somewhat like an online to-do list. And you probably have heard recommendations for this before, but it's an app called Trello or the website. I think HSF was formally blocked it from our site. So I used Todoist. It's like a, just a version of Trello that they haven't blocked. but essentially like I use this to track all of my tasks that I have to do. And I have different columns. So I have like today, tomorrow, later this week. And I do this because I found that in finance, more so than when I was in employment, my priorities were constantly changing. So I was also a big fan of the writing out and crossing out because I find that really satisfying. But I realized that it didn't really work in this team because the page would just be a massive mess by the end of the day because there's a lot of crossing out and rewriting and stuff like that. So I downloaded this and it's very easy to like click and drag and move the different priorities, and like you can flag something's high priority, you can put due dates on each of the like to-do items, and then like there's a little tick button that you press once you finish, which is not as satisfying as crossing it out.
Love it. I'm definitely gonna get that table from you after this call. Well, thank you both so much. You've both, Jess and Tara, have been so fantastic and it's been so nice. Thank you for taking the time to come and speak to us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Behind the Crime Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more about Herbert Smith Freehills, definitely check out our previous episodes with them. They have lots of useful tidbits and are with some different guests as well.
That's right. HSF has been a proud supporter of B2J from the start, so you can head right back to season one to hear more about the firm.
Don't forget to keep up with our new episodes by subscribing to Behind the Grind wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. That is all from us, and we'll be back next week with some new content.